You're listening to Weekend Edition on NHPR, and I'm Amanda Loader. Good morning. Even if you haven't heard of the artist Robert Indiana, you've almost certainly seen his most famous work, the white capital letters L-O-V-E, forming a colorful square. Love has been on everything from postage stamps to sneakers to sculptures in city parks. But before that, more than 50 years ago, Indiana emerged as an important and critically beloved figure in the pop art movement. Now, the Currier Museum of Art in Manchester is looking back at this key period with a new exhibit, Signs from the 60s, Robert Indiana's Decade. Joining me in the studio to discuss it is assistant curator Nina Bezichnik. Glad you could make it, Nina.
Thanks, Amanda.
So, an interesting side note about Robert Indiana. He actually lives in Vinyl Haven, Maine. Why did the Courier decide to look at his work, and did having the artist comparatively close by factor into the availability of his work?
We decided to do the exhibition based on the recent acquisition of two major works of art by the artist. One, a painting called Decade Auto Portrait from 1971, and it was a reflection on the year of 1963. This was one of 10 paintings that the artist had made reflecting on this particular decade of his life. And then the portfolio, which is called Decade, which is featured in the show, is also another acquisition. And this particular portfolio, like the series of paintings out of which we bought one, is a reflection on the 60s that the artist completed in 1971. And the exhibition was a way for us to celebrate these important acquisitions and to take a focused look at his very important work from this period.
Can you describe some of these signature pieces that visitors will see at the museum?
Most of Indiana's works include, as with Love, words in a very graphic, geometric language. And that carries throughout all of his work of the 60s, which is when he did develop Love. For me, one of my favorites is from the artist Confederacy series. And this was Indiana's reflections on the legacy of slavery in the South and how that legacy was carried over up to the point of the Civil Rights Movement. And this particular piece called Mississippi, the artist is reflecting on an event that happened there where three civil rights workers were killed by a white lynch mob. And here Indiana has created a memorial or an emblem to this historic event, which is drawing our attention to a shameful part of American history rather than something that is actually celebratory. And this is indicative of Indiana to look at this duality of America, sort of its promise, but also its potential pitfalls.
And, you know, although he's considered part of this pop art movement, it also seems to me there's something different about him compared to some of the other artists. Like, you have Roy Lichtenstein, his comic book paintings, they're sort of playful. Andy Warhol's kind of cheeky, but it seems like in some of Indiana's work there's anger, it seems like, underlying this.
I don't necessarily think that the work is angry. It's just more that it invites us to see beyond the superficial or beyond what we just automatically celebrate as American optimism. And what I mean by that is the American dream is something, is a theme throughout the artist's work. And what he asks us to think about what constitutes the American dream and invites us to consider both its positive aspects and then also the things that we might want to reconsider for the future. Like, what is this idea of racial equality? You know, what's at stake in regards to the Cold War when he was making these images? You know, what's at stake for a country that doesn't necessarily always respect difference, thinking about being a gay individual in mid-century America and what the repercussions of that were. And he's inviting us to consider all these things.
Throughout the 60s, as you'd mentioned, he was constantly playing with graphic interpretations of numbers and words. You know, one of his most famous works, aside from Love, is the canvas that shows the word eat in a graphic interpretation, and right next to it is yet another one that says die. And those two words, they show up over and over again in his work, and there are also numbers that show up over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a particular interest in the number 6. Although they would seem random to a person just walking blind into an exhibition like this, a lot of these references were actually biographical. How so?
So that's one of the things that Indiana is really known for. It's like this double focus where he blends his things of personal interest with things that have a cultural significance. And that's the power of his visual vocabulary and the power of his work. And what you're referring to, eat and die, they are words that appear very frequently and do have personal significance, eat being the last word that his mother said to him before she died, and also evokes for the artist the signage at the roadside diners that his mother worked at as when Indiana was a youth. And then die obviously has the correlation to eat by the story that I just said about the mom about his mother dying. His father, actually, Indiana's dad, also died in relationship to this word eat. He actually died while he was eating breakfast. So there's sort of a double personal reference for the word eat. And then the number six is often associated with his father, who worked for the Phillips 66 gas company and also was born in June, the sixth month of the year, and also, as Indiana says, left the family going west on Route 66.
There is one print there that USA 666, which to many people, if they had a Christian upbringing, that would be considered a devilish number. But mm-hmm. in this case, it has a very different meaning.
Exactly. And that's the thing with Indiana's work as well, is as I've taken people through the show and had conversations with people, it's amazing how the simplicity of the geometric shapes, the simplicity of the words become extremely complex when they are put together in Indiana's work and become this open to infinite interpretation, really, depending upon the viewer's frame of reference. And it's just that mastery of the way that Indiana's combined these very simple elements into something that is so complex. And they are signs that really call to you and invite you to read them, and everyone's reading is different.
Thanks for joining me today, Nina.
Thank you, Amanda.
Nina Bezichnik is assistant curator at the Currier Museum of Art in Manchester. You can see the exhibit Signs from the 60s, Robert Indiana's Decade, through the end of April 2014. And you can find some of Indiana's featured work on our website, nhpr.org.